A Contra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling, well, a huge mystery. We're talking about the origin of complex life.
That's right. It's a question that spans something like 2 billion years of Earth's history.
Exactly. And we're diving into a really fascinating book, Nick Lane's The Vital Question. It genuinely challenges some core ideas about evolution itself.
People sometimes call it the ultimate biological cold case. You know, why did life just stay simple? These single-celled organisms, prokaryotes, for such an incredibly long time.
Billions of years.
Yeah, and then almost suddenly, you get this complex cell, a eukaryote, and that leads to everything we see around us. Trees, animals, fungi.
That huge stretch to 2 billion years, it's often called the boring billion. But Lane's point is, it wasn't boring. It was more like a waiting game, governed by physics, really.
Mm.
So our mission today is to unpack his central idea, which is pretty challenging, that it wasn't just about random genetic changes. It was the energy budget.
Yeah.
That was the real constraint on complexity.
Mm. And if we can grasp the energy situation of those very first cells, we start to see why all complex life, everything seems to come from just one single event.
The singularity.
Exactly. And maybe, just maybe, why complex life could be incredibly rare out there in the universe.
Okay, so let's talk about the person behind this idea, Nick Lane. He's not just a biologist, right?
No, not at all. He's a British biochemist, professor of evolutionary biochemistry at University College London, and honestly, one of the most compelling scientific writers working today.
What makes his background so useful here? I mean, lots of people think about the origin of life.
It's his specific focus on bioenergetics.
Right.
Energy and living systems. And crucially, his quantitative approach.
Quantitative.
Meaning he uses math. He brings real numbers to it. See, most evolutionary talk is kind of descriptive, you know?
Uh-huh.
Selection pressures, genetic drift. Lane actually calculates things. He asks, okay, a mutation might seem good, but can the cell actually afford the energy cost to build and run that new piece of machinery, that new gene?
Ah, so it's less philosophy, more engineering. Like, did early life have the power supply needed for an upgrade?
Precisely. He looks at the thermodynamic barriers, the physics of it. By thinking in terms of, like, energy per gene, the cost of complexity, he offers a concrete reason why big evolutionary leaps were just impossible for so long.
Okay, let's get into that core puzzle of the vital question.
Yeah.
Life existed. Why did it stay simple? Why could bacteria just, you know, gradually get bigger and more complex?
Well, Lane's core argument is that prokaryotes, bacteria, and archaea were fundamentally stuck, trapped in what he calls an evolutionary cul-de-sac.
Why?
Because of energy. An absolute energetic barrier. You see, complexity costs energy, a bigger genome, internal parts, all that stuff needs fuel, and they just couldn't generate enough.
So it wasn't like they were waiting for the right blueprint, the right genes to pop up?
Not primarily, no.
It was more like they didn't have the cash flow, the energy income to actually build anything complex.
That's a great analogy, exactly. Think about his key concept, energy per gene. A simple prokaryote makes energy on its outer skin, its membrane.
Okay.
Lane calculates that if that cell tried to grow its genome, significantly get complex enough for internal structures, it would run out of power. The energy-making surface just doesn't keep up with the energy-using volume inside.
The running costs will bankrupt it.
Essentially, yes. It's a fundamental limit for that kind of cell design.
It sounds almost too neat, though. The single massive barrier. Are there other ideas out there? Like, maybe it was more gradual.
Oh, sure. There are always alternative theories. People talk about gradual genetic changes, maybe slow evolution of internal membranes. But Lane's argument, backed by those energy calculations, is that the barrier is steep, like a wall.
Mm.
Trying to climb it gradually doesn't work. You run out of energy halfway up. The only way over was a complete revolution in the power system itself.
Okay, let's talk about that wall. The surface area to volume problem. It's actually quite an elegant physical constraint.
It is. Think basic geometry. As any sphere, like a simple cell, gets bigger,
right,
its internal volume, where all the energy-hungry machinery like DNA lives, increases by the cube of its radius, r cubed.
Oh.
But its surface area, the membrane where it makes its energy, only increases by the square of the radius, r squared.
Ah, so the volume grows much faster than the surface. If it doubles in size.
It has 8 times the volume to support, but only 4 times the surface area to make energy.
It can't keep up. It's doomed to stay small or simple.
Exactly. It hits this hard limit. That's why prokaryotes generally are small, have relatively limited genomes, usually under, say, 10,000 genes, and they don't have complex internal compartments. They're built for efficiency at small scale, but complexity is just too expensive.
Until the big breakthrough, the one event that changed everything.
The endosymbiotic merger.
Ah.
This is the key moment. Billions of years back, one simple cell, probably an archaeon, engulfed another, a bacterium.
And instead of digesting it,
it kept it. That bacterium became the mitochondrion, the powerhouse. And this wasn't just another mutation. It was a physical takeover. It instantly, radically shattered that ancient energy barrier.
Wow. So it's like, imagine your house runs on solar panels on the roof. That's the prokaryote.
Okay.
Then suddenly you install thousands of tiny, super efficient nuclear reactors inside every room. That's the eukaryotic leap.
That's a fantastic analogy. That's the scale of the power increase, because these new power plants, the mitochondria, were internal.
Right.
And their own membranes are incredibly folded, maximizing surface area inside the cell. So the host cell got this huge energy boost without needing a proportionally massive outer surface.
How much more energy are we talking?
Lane estimates maybe 1,000 times. Maybe even hundreds of thousands of times more energy available for each gene compared to the prokaryote ancestor.
100,000 times.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the kind of budget you need to afford a massive genome, build a nucleus, all the complex stuff.
It bought freedom, the freedom to experiment, to build complex machinery. Now, you mentioned the nucleus. This leads to another interesting part of Lane's hypothesis. The setting. Where did this happen?
Right. He has a specific idea about the location, too.
Yes. He argues strongly that both the origin of life and this specific merger likely happened in a particular environment. Alkaline hydrothermal vents.
Deep sea vents. Why there? What's special about them energy-wise?
It ties into how cells fundamentally make energy, something called chemiosmosis. It relies on harnessing differences in ion concentrations, like protons, across a membrane, like a tiny battery.
Okay.
Alkaline vents naturally create these gradients. You have warm alkaline fluid from the vent mixing with the slightly acidic ocean water around it.
So the environment itself provides a ready-made energy gradient. The vent is doing some of the cell's work.
In the very beginning, yes. It creates a natural proton gradient that early life could tap into. It makes the initial steps of metabolism much, much easier before cells evolve their own complex internal machinery, like mitochondria, to create those gradients themselves.
A sort of energized cradle for life.
Exactly. Perfect conditions.
Now let's get to what feels like the most radical part.
Mm-hmm.
The mitochondria first. Idea. I always learned nucleus first, then mitochondria got incorporated later. Lane flips that.
He does. He argues that the arrival of the mitochondria, that energy revolution, happened first, and that the complexity we see in eukaryotes, including the nucleus, actually evolved in response to having mitochondria.
So the massive energy influx and maybe the complications of having this new thing inside drove the evolution of complexity.
Yes. Think about it. Suddenly, you have this powerful but maybe slightly dangerous tenant inside you. It has its own DNA. There's potential for conflict, a genetic conflict between the host genome and the mitochondrial genome.
Okay.
Lane proposes the nucleus evolved, at least in part, as a way to protect and manage the host's main DNA, to keep it safe from the, well, high-energy chaos and byproducts generated by these new power plants.
Like building a secure vault for the main blueprints because the factory floor just got way more energetic and messy?
That's a good way to put it. It makes the energy acquisition the driving force, and the complex structures like the nucleus the necessary consequences. Power first, then the fancy architecture to handle it.
Wow. This energy-centric view really does change the perspective on evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to boil it down, what are the really key themes or messages from Lane's work?
Well, the first one is crystal clear. Energy is the true master. Forget just genetic possibility. Evolution runs on energetic possibility. If you can't afford it, it doesn't matter how beneficial a mutation might seem.
Physics trumps biology, in a sense.
In a very fundamental sense, yes. Thermodynamics sets the ultimate limits.
And that connects directly to the second big message, doesn't it? The potential rarity of complex life.
Absolutely. If this merger, this acquisition of mitochondria, was such a unique, difficult, maybe statistically improbable event,
a singularity, as he calls it,
then it implies that while simple, microbial life might pop up relatively easily on other planets.
Right. Bacteria might be common.
The leap to complex life, to anything like an animal or plant, might be extraordinarily rare. It's a huge bottleneck. This strongly supports the rare earth idea.
That complex, intelligent life like us might be incredibly uncommon.
Vanishingly rare, perhaps.
And then there's the twist. The mitochondria gave us complexity, but they also seem to be responsible for some less desirable things. Sex, aging, death.
The Faustian bargain, as it's sometimes called. It seems that the very high-energy processes inside mitochondria inevitably produce damaging byproducts. Oxidative stress, free radicals. Sound familiar?
Yeah, antioxidants and all that.
Right. And Lane argues this unavoidable damage accumulating over time is the fundamental reason we age. Mitochondrial decay is aging at the cellular level. It's also linked to programmed cell death, apoptosis. The cell self-destructs when the damage is too great.
So aging isn't just wearing out, it's tied directly to our power source. What about sex? How does that fit in? I thought that was just about mixing genes for variation.
Well, Lane offers a compelling energy-based reason, too. Remember the two genomes, the host nucleus and the mitochondria.
Right, the conflict.
Mitochondrial DNA mutates much faster than nuclear DNA, so you need a way to constantly check and clean up the mitochondrial genes, get rid of harmful mutations.
And sex does that.
Sex, by recombining genes and allowing for selection against bad mitochondrial lines, acts like a quality control system. It helps maintain the integrity of our power plants over generations. It's not just about variation. It's crucial genetic hygiene for our energy system.
Wow. Okay. So Lane packs a lot into this book. Are there some core quotes or ideas that really stick with you, that capture the essence?
Definitely. One is just that simple statement. Prokaryotes are stuck in an evolutionary cul-de-sac. It just perfectly encapsulates that physical, energetic limit. They weren't lacking ideas, they lacked the means.
Yeah, that's powerful. And the flip side, the origin of complex cells was a singularity.
Right. It hammers home the sheer improbability, the chasm between simple and complex. It wasn't gradual, it was a leap. A unique event in 4 billion years.
There's also that almost philosophical definition he gives. Life is about the flow of energy, and death, its cessation.
It really grounds biology and physics. Life is this island of order maintained only by constantly pumping energy through it. Stop the flow, and the structure breaks down. That's death. That's entropy winning.
And maybe the most humbling one for us.
Yeah.
We are walking communities of ancient bacterial symbionts.
Yeah. It just reminds you that every cell in your body right now is powered by the descendants of that one bacterium engulfed billions of years ago. We are profoundly composite beings.
So this isn't just ancient history. It has real relevance today, especially, it sounds like, for medicine and health.
Oh, hugely. Understanding mitochondria is now absolutely central to research on aging and many major diseases.
Like what specifically?
Well, things like metabolic disorders, type 2 diabetes, many neurodegenerative diseases, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, even some cancers and aspects of heart disease are increasingly being linked to mitochondrial dysfunction. The power plants start to fail.
So by understanding the origin of this energy system, we get clues on how to maintain it. Strategies for healthy aging might literally involve supporting our mitochondria.
That's exactly where a lot of research is heading. Supporting cellular energy production might be key to preventing or mitigating age-related decline, and, of course, for astrobiology.
Right. The search for life elsewhere.
Lane's work forces a more cautious perspective. Finding microbes may be likely. Finding anything complex, we might need to adjust our expectations downwards. The energetic barrier seems immense.
Thinking back on all this, what really strikes me is just how contingent it all feels. The existence of, well, a fungus, let alone something like us, seems like such a fluke. It depended on this one specific, incredibly unlikely event overcoming a fundamental physical law. It wasn't inevitable at all.
Absolutely. And for me, the final takeaway is that Lane gives us this incredible lens, the energy lens, to appreciate just how improbable and precious complex life is. To really understand life, you have to understand the flow of energy. Our complexity is this amazing luxury bought by an ancient singular energy revolution.
And maybe the thought to leave you with is this, that incredibly energetic existence you enjoy, the very thoughts you're having right now, are powered by those ancient partners. It makes us, and all complex life on Earth, perhaps one of the most unlikely and maybe wonderful phenomena in the entire universe. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Katra Foundation.